coming up next here on your favorite radio station. It is time for the Saturday Special with your host, Michael Zwirling.
Dave Michaels, I don't hear you. You can hear me, I think, but I don't hear you.
I can hear you.
Okay, now I hear you. Now I hear you. Okay, good. So, do I sound okay? I'm on remote.
Yes, you sound okay.
Good. Okay. So, do we have two fabulous guests today? And the first one is going to be in the first hour, and the second one is going to be in the second hour. And do we have a very interesting topic today?
Do we?
We do.
Oh, okay.
Do you know what the topic is?
No, I don't, MZ. I don't.
I'd love to have fun with Dead Air Dave Michaels. Have you? Did I cause a heartbeat skip just a second ago?
No, no, no. I'm trying to figure out how to adjust these phones to get ready.
Okay.
Yeah, it's yeah.
Okay. Well, if you could get our first guest Michael on the line, that would be great. And let's see, what should you do first? Should you play the jingle? I guess the hour number one jingle.
Okay, ready?
3, 2, 1.
Good morning. A brighter day is here. Good morning. May we bring you cheer.
We've got time, we've got tunes, we've got time, tunes, and temperature.
Get up and go, it's today, you know, on KSCO Radio.
Okay, we've got a cue for you, folks. All right, Jimmy Kimmel is causing trouble again, and in fact, he's caused so much trouble that unprecedented things have happened here in the government. I have never heard of a president calling for license renewals to be stopped. And that's exactly what has happened. Or at least they're being questioned early. The ABC owned and operated television stations have been ordered to apply for their license renewal quite years early, actually, than the time they normally would be required to do so. Now, to me, this is a very, very, very fascinating issue. And so I reached out to a person that I believe who's a good, close personal friend of mine and of KSCO's, none other than Michael Harrison, to be our guest to discuss this subject here. And Michael is on the phone here. So let's see. I think I'm locked. I've locked myself in. Let me see if I can lock Michael in. Michael, are you there?
Let me out. Can you hear me? I like the way you say lock me in.
Yeah, well,
folks, I'm being trapped. I'm trapped at KSEO in the basement studio. Help.
And we also have Amy that I will. Yeah, you're locked in. Let me lock in Amy. Amy, are you there?
Yes.
Say hello to our good friend, Michael.
Hello. Hello,
Amy.
Mr. Harrison. How are you?
I'm great. It's wonderful sharing the microphone with you. I hope that you're well.
It didn't look, sounds like it from the basement of Bunker.
Does he have you locked in a different basement?
Yeah, Amy's in San Francisco. I'm in South Santa Cruz County. I was going to go to the radio station today, but I like to conserve fuel in these days of very expensive gas. And so if I would have driven into the studio today to do the show for 3 hours, I would have had to turn around and come all the way back in the opposite direction before I went back to San Francisco to reunite with Amy here. So I decided to just do the program from remote. Anyhow, Michael, What do you think about this unprecedented move on the part of the Federal Communications Commission? I mean, I've never heard of anything like this before. Have you?
Well, certainly not within our recent memory. I mean, there's always been throughout history the battle between governments and the media to control the narrative. So it's nothing new that there's pressure on the free media, or in this case, the quasi-free, heavily licensed media, to comply with the wishes of the government, in this case, you know, the President of the United States and his cabinet. And that's what's going on. It's of concern to me because in all the years that I've been publishing Talkers Magazine and doing radio programs within this highly charged political news talk environment, my only real major political stance, and that of Talkers Magazine, has been to support the First Amendment, what we call freedom of speech. And now that it's under attack, you know, we have to at least express our view that it's something with which we thoroughly disagree. And worse than disagreeing, we think it's dangerous as hell. So, yeah, you're right. It is kind of unprecedented in terms of the intensity and the level and the drama of it within at least modern history or recent
memory. What do you think is going to happen?
I don't think anything is going to happen. I think the blowback will be so powerful that it'll fall on its face, and it'll be another problem that Trump is going to have to deal with in terms of the bigger picture of his popularity among the entire population as opposed to any segment of it. I think that I think in the end, the First Amendment and the Constitution will prevail. But I don't necessarily think that should ever be taken as a given. I think that we all, no matter what your politics, left, right, Republican, Democrat, pro-Trump, anti-Trump, whatever your politics happens to be, this should jump out as being a red flag. Because if we do not have the First Amendment, everything else in this country is built upon, you know, it's a sandcastle. It's built on, you know, sand. Mm-hmm. It'll wash away with the tide because you can't have the America that we think of as America without a strong, healthy, robust First Amendment. You can't exist with the media having to operate with that type of self-consciousness and that type of risk of being penalized, censured by the government, fined, lose your license, all of these things, harassed because of your political position. It just is not something that we can allow to happen, or we won't have America anymore.
Now, who can argue with that? I can't. Can you, Amy? We're all proponents of freedom of speech more than anybody I know. I mean, that's most important to me and to you and to Michael, I think. Am I right? How come there's this pregnant pause that I didn't expect?
I don't hear. Is Amy on some type of a delay?
No.
Because, okay.
Are you there? I listen. Yes, I'm here, and I listen. I'm not thinking. So
there's no thinking in radio.
I don't know what to say.
Amy, there's no thinking in radio.
All right, well, let's talk about the function of the FCC, okay? Why is it there? It's there to license broadcast stations and regulate the spectrum for other services like cable. The most important thing that I've always thought the function of the FCC is to keep radio and television stations through broadcast on the air from interfering with each other. Okay.
Yeah, that's the major function of it.
Is it a technical thing? What's the
very
function
technical
for the FCC? Is that technically or politically?
It's technical, purely technical, Amy. Politically, the FCC is supposed to stay out of it. The FCC is not there to regulate content or editorial policy unless that content or editorial policy proves to be specifically dangerous to the public well-being. The issue that is currently at play, and eventually this conversation is going to lead to, is are the things that are irritating the Trump administration and the Brendan Carr-led FCC, are these dangerous to the public well-being, or are these politically motivated tools of harassment? This is where this conversation will lead, no matter what, if we pursue this line of questioning and analysis. And my opinion is hardly, that nothing has been done by either Jimmy Kimmel or Stephen Colbert or James Comey in terms of his issue with being indicted. None of these things rise to the level of yelling fire in a crowded theater.
So I saw the FCC is to regulate it. You don't say the four-letter words, because don't say that. Are they monitoring that, or what's the deal? No, I don't know. You can't
the
say
FCC,
anything.
The FCC. I'm answering your question.
You're not stupid.
It's just that you're asking the question, and I'm answering it. The answer to your question is no. The FCC is not there to regulate words. It is, though, in some cases there to regulate to a degree that is ambiguous public decency and public standards. And that's based upon the FCC's role back in the 30s and 40s when this whole set of laws grew into being, based upon the idea that radio and television airwaves were a scarce commodity that we all as a nation had to share, that it was a limited commodity. There were only a certain number of radio stations, only a certain number of television stations, and because they were being listened to by general audiences that included children, the FCC played a role in regulating obscenity and indecency. However, that was then and this is now, because you have so many forms of media that are really mainstream, like social media, Facebook, you know, Instagram, X, Twitter, podcasting, YouTube, Spotify. I mean, you can go on and on, that the idea, the notion that the public airwaves are a scarce commodity has become kind of quaint. It's quaint. It no longer exists, and that's a whole other issue, even further diminishing the FCC's role in regulating content or editorial policy. Now, the FCC has always primarily been there to protect the financial interests of people who go to the trouble of owning radio and television stations, applying for and being granted licenses, so that somebody can't come along with a pirate station and blow them off the air. In other words, the FCC is there to protect MZ and the ownership of KSCO at, let's say, 1080 on the AM dial and the other FM signals that you have from being infringed upon by unlicensed pirate stations. Or some other 1080 station somewhere outside the listening range, boosting their power or aiming their signal to interfere with KSCO's 1080 signal in Santa Cruz. And that's the reason for the FCC. They're totally out of bounds, harassing broadcasters and licensees for telling jokes, for engaging in political satire. No. We've never seen that in our lifetime, and I hope that it doesn't continue, because it's a very dangerous thing. As I said, it could mean the end of freedom as we know it, the end of America as we know it.
Interestingly, it's never been codified that there are profane words that must not be spoken on the air. That people think that there's seven deadly words, but there are seven deadly words were never written by were never codified in law by the FCC. That
Great
was
point.
Done by comedian George Carlin, correct, Michael?
Totally correct. You're absolutely right. So many people consider it to be conventional wisdom that the FCC has seven deadly words that you're not allowed to say. That was George Carlin. Basically, the FCC says that decency, public decency, indecency, obscenity are in the eyes and ears of the beholder and subject to scrutiny based upon when it happened, what time it happens, and where it happens, what part of the country and when it happens. So it's quite ambiguous, and it's better that it is ambiguous. It's not something that the FCC should be doing, nor is it mandated. Now, there are certain things that have come into, I don't know if it's written or codified, as you point out, anywhere, but there are certain subjects that are considered to be taboo within that realm of law. One of them is excretion. If you talk in a pandering way, in a frivolous pandering way, about bodily functions having to do with the act of excretion, that can be interpreted as indecency. There are some others that don't, off the top of my head, I can't recall. And when somebody like me, who is on top of all of this, can't recall some of the aspects of it, it goes to show you just how ambiguous it is.
And then there's someone like me who enjoys toilet humor, but I better not use any of it on the radio if I know what's good for me, right?
You could. The FCC could come after you for toilet humor. And then again, it depends upon what's considered to be fair game or fair play at this particular time. So, it's something for you to be careful about.
Okay.
So what is the public interest? You say the FCC was that mainly they have the function in protect the public interest. So what is
If you go on the radio, and you say just for the hell of it, you know, sort of like what happened with Orson Welles back with War of the Worlds. If you go on the air and you say Martians are landing in Santa Cruz, they have now come ashore, or they've come out of their spaceships in downtown Santa Cruz, and they're shooting people with ray guns, head for the hills, run, run, run. And all of a sudden there's a panic and people are on the highways and shooting each other and panicking and all that. You have yelled fire in a crowded theater. You have used your freedom of speech to clearly and measurably and deceitfully harm the public good and the public interest. It's meant for something of that nature. It's not meant for nuanced political meaning or questionable taste. That is not what it's about. There are ways that a person with a license can really damage people, can really hurt people by deceiving them, by even endorsing a product that you don't use. If you went on the radio, if you and MZ went on the radio and said, we love eating at Jones Delicatessen because they make the greatest corned beef in the world, and you've never eaten there, you're actually breaking, you can be fined. You can lose your license. You can go to jail, technically, for doing that. And that's freedom of speech. In other words, you're not supposed to lie about certain things that are measurable lies, as opposed to Biden was the worst president in the history of the country, or Donald Trump is the new American Hitler. These are opinions. These are not necessarily something that's going to cause somebody to run out and panic. Now, in terms of the next thing I know you're going to ask me, you should ask me, is, well, what about inspiring people to commit violence? Well, if we're going to pass laws against inspiring people to commit violence, that means we have got to shut down the video game industry. That means we have got to shut down the film industry, the content production on television, half of the music out there. I mean, we have to really kill freedom of speech and expression and art if we want to eliminate something that could be interpreted as inspiring violence. So it's best we just leave that to the private sector.
How about the make fun of assassination?
Making fun of assassination? If you go on the radio or the television and you say...
I guess somebody, some public figures, I'm not talking about president.
If you... Being assassinated,
they make a fun of that. That's, I don't know, it's a freedom speech. Like
Well, the point is, the question, Amy, is how serious is that really a threat to any public official? And in those cases that have been cited, with Melania saying that Kimmel inspired people to assassinate President Trump because he made a joke several days before the event that she didn't even notice, or James Comey sent a message to 8647 with seashells on the sand. Well, 86, Trump said, means to kill. It doesn't. It means to eliminate, to get rid of. If we can't talk like that, well, even Trump then. Trump has images of himself pouring feces out of an airplane on the No Kings marches. Well, that breaks... that breaks the rule about indecency and excretion, and it's also quite dangerous. Are these really incitements to kill the president? And many people think not.
To me, the comedy things, we went to a cruise a lot. Usually they always have a comedy, people, comedian from mostly English language, okay? British, American comedy. But then lately we went there, they are silent. They say they cannot say anything. And only few cruise line, like Princess Cruise, I still hire some comedians to do the show. And like at Disneyland, they can't because they want to be political correctness. So if, for instance, you're talking about if you make a fun of the assassinations, presidents, so that's, to me, not even president, okay, just a human being, is not decent. It's not human decency to make a fun, make people laugh about and to kill somebody they celebrate.
What about bearing false witness? What about the fact that Donald Trump took an ad back during the Central Park incident with the Central Park runner who was allegedly beaten up by a bunch of young thugs of color, and it turned out that they were innocent, but Trump took a full page ad calling for their execution. This is way before he was president. Is that an abuse of freedom of speech? Can you threaten the life of any citizen? I mean, we have to be, would you feel the same way? I know that you're a Trump supporter. Would you feel the same way if somebody made a joke about Biden? Would you be all wigged out?
I'm not talking about Biden or anybody, just myself, like somebody today in KSU, let's say MC very sick in the hospital. So they make a fun of that, me, right? You're going to lose him. They make that's a freedom speech. I don't know. I think it's human decency, right? You don't make a tragedy. Make a fun as a comedy. That's not comedy to me.
It's not comedy to you, but a lot of people like it and think it's very funny. And a lot of people are concerned about these things.
I'm sick and tired of that media. I come into this country, totally different story. And then I saw a lot of medians, they make people tragedy. As sensational, interview people, made them cry on the screen. And to me, pain is private, right? So if you in the small, your own home, your party, whatever, that's fine. But talking about broadcasted, talking about you influence million people and do things like that. So what is that? The freedom of speech. I know lots of people use that, it's not public interest. I don't think United States citizens, Americans want the president to be assassinated. Doesn't matter. I didn't vote for Obama. I didn't vote for Biden, but I never wanted them to be assassinated. But some people do right now. They celebrate every time attempt assassination to Trump. They celebrate and they make a fun of it. It's a comedy. That's absurd to me. Yes. So that's all.
You know why that? Do you know why that is? Because he is extremely unpopular. So that type of unpopularity, the things that have led people to, in giant numbers, disapprove of Trump and find him despicable. I'm not saying I do. I'm just saying a lot of people do. Opens up the area for public discussion, and that includes satire, that includes comedy, it includes nuance for making fun of him. And I don't know. I don't remember anybody inspiring anybody to kill him. In recent months, I do not believe personally that Comey and Kimmel did anything to encourage anybody to go to the White House correspondence dinner and shoot the place up. We don't even know if a shot was fired. We don't even know what that was about. So we're talking about different things here. I just hate seeing public taste being regulated by bureaucrats and politicians. They should stay out of that. Let the sponsors who think that something is in bad taste withdraw their sponsorship, and let the listeners and the viewers turn the channel if they don't agree with what's out there. But if we're so sensitive as a country that somebody making a nuanced joke that isn't even clear about something that is on everybody's minds, the president of the United States, who insists on inserting himself into every damn conversation that humanity has minute to minute, well, then you take the consequences of that, and you're going to, you know, annoy a number of people, to say the least. These are very, very subjective questions. Do I think somebody should get on the radio and television and say, hey, if you get an opportunity, shoot the president? No, that should be illegal. And if you did that, to answer your question about is the FCC listening? If MZ were to go on, or I was to go on right now and say that on KSCO, one radio station out of thousands, if I were to say that and encourage people to do it, the FCC would be at my door before the day is over. They would
probably the FBI, you know.
Right. They would be at my door before the day was over. Now, you asked a question before, and I didn't answer it. How does the FCC know about all this? They do not monitor radio stations. Although in today's day of disintegrating privacy, where we don't have privacy anymore, they could be monitoring it. There's this metadata situation where arguably or theoretically, every conversation you have on the telephone, everything that you send an email is being recorded someplace in a big data bank. There's not somebody sitting there listening to it, but it's being recorded someplace in a metadata bank. That is a possible truth, what I'm saying. I don't know for sure, but I believe it's true, and a lot of people do, because we have the technology to do that. And when we have the technology to snoop, somebody's going to snoop. But the way it traditionally operates is that for the FCC to launch an investigation into somebody saying poo-poo or caca on the air, they have to receive a complaint from a listener. If they don't get a complaint, they are not going to take action. I don't know if you knew that, or MZ, did you know that? A lot of people don't realize
that. Yeah, that's the way it works with just about everything in the government. That's the way it works with code enforcement, you know, with the planning and building department and so forth. If someone, if you're doing something that's illegal and no one complains about it, you're probably going to get away with it.
Right. You're definitely going to get away with it.
Some people use that. You know that.
Use it for
that
what?
Because they don't like what they hear from your station, so they can, I report you something else.
Good point.
So
good point.
You,
and good point,
down,
Amy. And
to take away your license, right?
A good
so
point
it's
you're making.
It's a double-edged weapon, you know.
Yes, but the FCC, traditionally up until now, has been wise to that process. And as a result, they'll give lip service to the complainer, but they won't necessarily follow up on it with anything other than just going through the motions. The FCC traditionally, up until now, has not wanted to get involved in political or controversial talk. They don't want to because they know it's ultimately a subjective. And if you have a lawsuit for every single time somebody is offended by something they hear in the media, especially today when there's so much free media, unregulated, and the people that are regulated are operating at a handicap because they can't do the same level of engagement that non-regulated media do, well, the FCC is just not going to be able to function. They'll be running around constantly trying to put out little fires, and they're not set up to do that.
So what's the update for their response to Trump's suggestion?
Say that again. I'm sorry. What is the what?
What's the FCC's what's the update for their response?
Oh, the FCC. The FCC is going with Trump's suggestion. Brendan Carr, the chairman of the FCC, is a Trump appointee who is under Trump's thumb. And as a result, Trump is now controlling the FCC, and he's not going to let up. They're going to go for it. They're already, as said earlier, speeding up the process by which ABC TV stations have to renew their licenses. In other words, that's a form of harassment. And no, the FCC is not operating as an independent agency at this chapter of time. They're operating as an extension of the Trump administration or Donald Trump's desires to shut down opposition, which is of concern to people who care about the First Amendment. And in many cases, it's a conundrum. It's a problem for people who support Trump, because one of Trump's conservative, if you can call it that, policies has to be to keep the government out of regulating people's private lives, whether it's free enterprise or whether it's freedom of speech. And now he's doing the exact opposite. A lot of people who are Trump supporters feel that he's betrayed them with some of these things. Well, you guys are Trump supporters. Do you feel that Trump has betrayed you?
Well, geez. No, I know that there's a lot of people that I know who are Trump supporters, who were big Trump supporters, are now Trump opponents because of the war. Trump ran on a platform of war, of staying the hell out of wars with other places.
What about the fact that he ran on the platform of wanting to release the Epstein files? What about I can go on with a list of things of why people feel betrayed by Trump. That's not saying I feel betrayed by Trump. I don't like any president. I don't like the left. I don't like the right. I don't like Democrats, Republicans. I think we should hold their feet to the fire. I believe in an independent media. And
unless you don't live in this country. So you don't believe in this country?
What did you say? I'm sorry.
This country without a president? You say you don't like any president. So you mean
Not at all. That's ridiculous. What I'm saying
the government is a necessary evil.
The government is a necessary evil, and they should be regulated by the public. The public should not fault, especially the media public, because so many people are in the media today, it's hard to tell who the pros are and who the amateurs are. Everybody has a podcast. Everybody has a channel. Everybody is in the ratings business, like me, don't like me, give me a thumbs up. I mean, it's crazy. People in the media should not necessarily give themselves away to a politician, and the president is the most powerful politician. I feel the same thing applies to the mayor or the congressman or the senator or the school board chairman. It doesn't matter. We should hold people's feet to the fire. We should not become sycophants. We should not become
not just blind supporters. That's all Michael is saying, Amy. He'll never be a blind supporter of anybody. You know,
yeah,
am I right, Michael? I don't want to.
So is people still supporting this government, still supporting this country, is because they don't want to be blind. They don't want to be influenced by the propaganda. The reason we have so much right now social media is because people are sick and tired of this mainstream media. They're not reporting the truth. They don't want it. They don't care about the truth. You know, they've become propaganda, fake news. You know, and this goes on and on and on. That's why they cannot stop social media. That's the way it is.
And are you saying social media is the truth?
Sick and tired of this all mainstream media, totally, almost.
Are you saying, Amy, are you saying that social media is the truth and mainstream media is a lie?
No, I'm talking about it's free speech, representing the free speech, have a different voices. You know, the mainstream is repeating each other, all report the same, but they're not the fact. Lots of things, they don't have a fact anymore. For a long time, I'm watching this. I come into another country, so I know what is the propaganda. What is the free speech? You know, free speech has different voices.
Why do you know that? Because you come from another country.
We don't have this civil conversation anymore between different parties, you know, and because everything, they become a propaganda, become like a, you have to politically correct. You cannot talk. Use that to kill the free speech. You know, for last.
Well, understand something.
Maybe
understand.
Longer.
Amy.
That's how I feel, you know.
Okay, let me point something out to you that's really based upon a widespread misunderstanding of the law. And that is, free speech is one thing. The First Amendment is another. They overlap, but they're not the same thing. First Amendment means that if you say something or write something or do something of expression in the arts or politics or whatever that is offensive in nature, you are protected from having the government shut you down or the government punish you. The government cannot take away your freedom of speech. It doesn't mean that you're not allowed to say what you want to say that's offensive to somebody else, like the owner of a radio station or the publisher of a newspaper. It doesn't guarantee you a soapbox. It only guarantees that you will not be attacked, harassed, censored, or censured by the government. A lot of people don't realize that. They think that, you know, well, I have the right to speak. So MZ, put me on your radio station or you're taking away my freedom of speech. Well, MZ has the right to take away
We've dealt with that in a big way many times, actually, here at KSEO.
Right.
We dealt with just that.
The First Amendment protects MZ. And if you want to have the freedom of speech to go on the radio, go buy your own radio station or start your own newsletter. No one's stopping you.
Call into KSEO. You know, we don't censor people either.
You've run an amazingly open operation.
Wait a minute, Amy. Don't talk over Michael, Amy, because he. I just heard him start to make a compliment about me. And you know how I love compliments. Go ahead.
Okay,
Michael.
Compliment.
Let me finish the compliment. I have known you for over three decades, Michael. I have been a friend of yours and a friend of this radio station for years. I do not personally agree with everything that you say and that people on the station do, but I love the station. People say, how could you love a station that you criticize all the time? I said, because I'm able to. Because that's what all stations should be criticizable. And MZ, Michael Zwirling, the owner of this station, although he has historically had certain controversial political opinions that he's taken on the air, he has also allowed for all kinds of points of view. You have done that. So you've been basically a good, upstanding, traditional American broadcaster. You have your opinion. You went to the trouble of investing money in the community and buying a radio station. You use it as a place for you to express your view. But you have allowed countless people over many, many years, 30 some odd years now, to have the facility and use the airwaves that you support financially, that you built and continue to maintain, for them to, without expense and without much inconvenience, to be able to express their views that are counter to yours. You're a fine broadcaster.
Yeah, 35 years, not only allowed, but encouraged.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm glad that.
Oh,
I'm
yeah, I didn't
me
mean to interrupt you when you were on a roll complimenting me. So I'll shut up. You continue the compliment, please, Michael. I love it.
Well, in conclusion of the compliment, this is a standard that I wish that everybody followed. It's not a perfect system. None of our systems are perfect. In the preamble, it says, in order to form a more perfect union, we hold these truths to be self-evident. In order to form a more perfect union, it doesn't say in order to maintain our perfect union. It doesn't claim that we are perfect. It says that our North Star, our guiding principle, is to ultimately have a perfect union, which we do not have. We had slavery. We
Bingo.
Had.
Now, Amy, I think Michael's finished with his convo. I wish, even though I wish it would go on forever, but
I think you're chicken,
I didn't mean to interrupt you. You were on a roll yourself,
too.
But I just couldn't help myself. Go
that's
ahead,
fine.
Amy.
She probably forgot what
okay.
she was going to say.
So you're happy now you got all the compliments. No, I'm talking about, I have a different life experience from you and Michael, both Michael. And because you are American born and you live in this country, you know, you don't live in the country, so you don't know what is as a place freedom speech means, right? So anyway,
yeah,
if I
didn't know you better, I'd be insulted by what you're saying. It's a very arrogant thing that you're saying, but that's okay.
Yeah, but I thought you
have
different.
A better you have a better
you
understanding
country,
of freedom of speech than
you,
I do because you come from another country.
No, I'm talking about is how I recognize this changes in this country, the media. You both in this industry, whatever, you know everything about it. I know nothing about it because all I have is common sense, my personal experience, okay? 1982, I come in here. I just love people told me American free speech. The reporter, they are
what happened
really
to Amy?
Powerful.
She was on a
they
roll and she disappeared.
Cheese.
Damn it.
King without the crown, they told me. I said, really?
Amy, you got to back up, Amy, back up 15 seconds. I don't know why we lost you, but back up 15 seconds because we missed a lot of good stuff.
What?
I heard her.
Oh,
really?
You, oh, well, then I didn't. So there's something wrong with my damn internet connection.
Amy was
heard.
I think Amy was heard by the listeners. Basically,
okay,
if
good.
I could reiterate, she comes from another country with a different experience, so she's speaking from that background.
Well, I'm talking, I just tried to say for sure, because I know you're sick and tired of my story, you're a listener too. But I'm talking about, I was very interested to learn everything about this free speech. I'm very interested in all the program, investigation program, you know, the reporters, all the program, every day I'm watching those things. You know, and then, so I asked my husband, he's a lawyer. I said, why in here, the reporter, they can go to fighting a corruption. They can go to expose those bad things in politically or financially, everything. And how can they have guts to do that, not being hurt, not being killed? And then he said, because the Constitution, you know, free speech is guaranteed by the Constitution. That's what he told me about. I said, wow. So that's if we have no Constitution, if our judicial system is corrupted, so we're finished. You know, but I tell you, since 1989, CNN was there reporting Tiananmen Square in China. You know, we watch every day because they are there. They are there in the place. And talking about, like, talk to the people, reported, even almost been killed, you know, the bombing, to throw the bomb to the hotel, everything. So, but later on, just less and less those kind of report. And they said, oh, we're cutting down. No money to send the reporter there. So we had to get the expert and to talk about it. That's much cheaper. So that's why they run that. But that's not the truth. You know, the truth is they don't want to report the truth. That's what it is. So that's how I feel the media is less and less. Then eventually, and they are, any channel is all the same. I said, how can they talk the same? It's supposed to be different voices, right? So if free speech has only one voice, that's the end of it. So that's how I feel it. That's why
I'm hearing pregnant pauses again, unless that's my iPhone.
I don't know. Your phone have a problem, I guess.
No, she's doing fine. She's doing fine. I have answers to some of these. I've already answered some of these points, and some of the points she makes stand on their own. And that's just my reaction and my opinion.
We still had to keep an independent thinker. We had to think independently. So then you can draw your own conclusion, but need all different information.
Just
so
understand
what
one,
for. They
Amy,
have to report
Amy,
it.
Amy,
just
Amy,
don't tell
Amy,
me
Amy
opinion.
Jump.
Just report it. They don't.
Amy doesn't like to go up and back. She just likes to make speech. Amy, freedom of speech, I said, is two things. One, in terms of the First Amendment and the law, it protects you from government interference and government reprisal. It doesn't protect you from negative blowback. It doesn't mean that people can't be offended. It doesn't mean that people can't boycott. It doesn't mean that people can't fire you. It doesn't mean that people have to like your speech. And it doesn't mean that they have to put up with it. It only means the government can't do anything to you. So when you say political correctness or people are going to get angry or people, you know, are going to do what they can to hurt you, they have the right to. They don't have the right to do anything criminal against you, but they have the right to strike back. That's why I said it doesn't give you the right to a soapbox. Only the government is bound by freedom of speech per the First Amendment. And that answers your entire question. That answers it entirely. Freedom of speech is not a neat, tidy thing. It's a messy thing. And Amy, with all due respect to your background coming from China, democracy is an untidy affair. One of the things that marks the Chinese perspective on government is they think that democracy is inefficient. They think that a government run by a strong central person or committee is much more efficient than one that's not. So what I find with all of my Chinese friends and associates who have various views on whether or not communist China is a good, the Communist Party, the Chinese Communist Party is good or bad, is that they have a similar background in believing that you have to have an authoritarian government. So they replace the bad dictator with what they consider to be a good dictator, as long as it's a dictator to keep everything in order, whereas Americanism is putting up with the mess and the inconsistency of democracy, the debating, the arguing, the two parties, the three parties, different points of view, fake news, real news, all of that is what comes with the package of being a democracy. And that I find is something that is a blind spot for almost every Chinese person who came to America for freedom like you did. I find that to be a blind spot in their understanding of American culture.
I'm not agree with you because I'm not like that. I keep telling MZ, I say that right before, I have a lot of people, the friend is not Republican, okay? They're Democrats. I'm not Republican. I'm not Democrat. I'm an independent. You know, so I keep telling MZ, I say that I think I should have a different voices. If one country, only one voice, that's finished. You know,
I agree.
That's
I agree. Then we both see it the same way.
Yeah.
We agree.
So I'm not the one like you think. All the Chinese from today, they like a dictator, just good dictator, not bad dictator. That's not me. That's wrong. You're talking. Your conclusion.
Good. I'm glad to hear
you
that.
Don't know
I agree.
You don't know about me. You know. I don't. You just know what I said. You think you assuming. you come to the conclusion. I tell you, that's wrong conclusion. I think
well, when you come
when you probably know what's my stand for, right?
When one endeavors to speak in this heated political environment, one has to expect to be taken at face value for what one says. And therefore, everybody, we all give credit or discredit to each other based upon what we say, not necessarily what we're thinking. And a lot of people would be better off if they kept their mouth shut and kept their thoughts to themselves.
Especially in talk radio,
right? This country have two parties, just like a Chinese tradition, yin and yang. So they can self-correct. That's why I have two parties. But right now, we cannot have a civil conversation between two parties, or divided and hated each other. So I know when it happens, you know. So that's the problems.
I know when it happened.
I know exactly
when it happened. It happened when the media decided to target audiences based upon what they thought already and feed them affirmation, as opposed to feed them information and let them choose. The media targets audiences to give them what they want. That's why you have conservative radio and liberal radio and conservative newspapers and liberal papers and conservative TV, et cetera, et cetera. That's why everything
is defined
by politics.
Okay, Michael, I can't wait. I can't. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you. I just don't hear you saying
okay, good.
A lot, but I hear you.
I can't wait for you to hear this, for you to answer this question. Do you think that changed with the fairness doctrine being dropped by Reagan in 87 or whenever it was?
I think the fairness doctrine opened the door for radio to be able to be political. Yeah. But I don't necessarily think that it's a bad thing. I think that we just have to be educated to handling it. But yeah, I think the fairness doctrine served two purposes. One, it opened the doors of freedom. And two, with that came all of the untidiness, lies, deception, and problems that come with freedom. And freedom takes a lot of work. You got to have an understanding of history. You have to have an understanding of human nature. You have to have an understanding of finance. You have to know what the hell you're talking about. I sometimes wonder, I debate about this, whether we're better off having freedom and letting every stupid fool vote, you know, or not. I think ignorance is one of the biggest dangers to democracy that anybody could possibly have. But that doesn't mean get rid of democracy. It means get rid of ignorance. But this is complicated stuff. It's very, very complicated.
Well, I can't disagree with that.
Pause. I don't think we disagree with anything. I just think the problem is that both sides think that they have a monopoly on the truth. And in my opinion, both sides are not necessarily right. I find when I hear the argument between the typical left and the typical right argument, I find that it's a fool's argument. I don't even like to engage in it. You know, I didn't want to have this conversation, and I think we're taking it to the most intense it could be before we start hitting each other over the head. I think this has been a good conversation so far.
I'm looking at the clock.
And we made it through without hanging up on each other. This is great.
Do you know that my high price consultant sent me a text saying, fantastic show. I absolutely agree with Harrison. How do you like that?
But somebody else
said we are not a democracy.
Oh, we're a republic.
And somebody else says,
BS.
Your guest is narrow-minded and not as smart as he thinks he is. I know he swings left because he accuses Amy of arrogance and making speeches. You know, so.
I'd rather have somebody make speeches in talk radio that doesn't talk.
No, I had to compliment Mr. Harrison because you taught me a lot about it. And make me think over what's the freedom of speech.
I want everybody to listen to
this.
KSTO Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey, San Jose.